Friday, December 9th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. It is Friday. We return to our Ask the Pastor feature. If you would like to participate in this special Friday Ask the Pastor segment, write to us at askthepastor@briarwood.org. Harry, our first question comes from Paul. He says, over the last few years, Pastor Reeder, you have helped me. You have helped my wife and I to better understand salvation and Reformed theology. All of the puzzle pieces fit together to form a complete picture without doing any mental gymnastics or without reading into the scriptures anything that is not explicitly stated. That has given me great peace. He also says, I have family members who are Primitive Baptist, and I want to be able to communicate clearly and biblically with them when discussing their, what he calls, hyper-Calvinistic beliefs. They tell me that if a person is chosen by God before the foundation of the world, then it matters not whether they ever hear the name of Jesus. The chosen person is eternally saved regardless of their faith.
Thanks for participating. Thanks for the great questions. And thanks for this one. Let's look at the Baptist world just for a minute in America and how it was initiated in the migration of Europeans to America, particularly from Britain. The Anabaptist movement on the continent was powerful and affected the Baptist population in North America. It's actually the Baptist movement in England that had the most profound effect, I think I can rightly say. Now, Anabaptists would be shown with Mennonites and the various expressions of the Mennonites by the Quakers and the various expressions of the Quakers, etc. But the Baptist movement would be seen, you've got Southern Baptists and General Association of Regular Baptists, the African American Baptist movement, North American Baptist Church, the National Baptist Church, etc. What came over were basically three divisions in Britain. There were the strict Baptists, the particular Baptists, and the general Baptists. The general Baptists were basically Arminian in their theology. The strict Baptists were what were called hyper-Calvinist. And then the particular Baptists were what might be called Reformed Baptists, who would be very much like the Presbyterians, except in terms of baptism and church government. And as they come over to America, the General Baptist would be seen by the Arminian Baptist movement. The Regular Baptist would be seen by what was called the General Association of Regular Baptists. And in the 19th century, they had splits around the Civil War. So you've got Southern Baptists and the General Association of Regular Baptists, who were mostly in the North now. But they had a common, basically Calvinistic theology, Reformed Baptist theology at that time. And then the strict Baptist became known as the Primitive Baptist, which our questioner surfaces from his background. Well, the Primitive Baptist, the hyper-Calvinist, our questioner says they tend to be universalists. Well, not many Primitive Baptists believe that everyone is saved, even though they don't believe that you have to express faith in Christ to be saved. In other words, you don't have to evangelize people. If they're elect, they're saved. If they're not elect, they're not going to be saved, because it doesn't affect the outcome anyway. Instead of calling them universalist, I think it would be more right to call them religious fatalist. In other words, you've got your fate, and whether you believe or not, it doesn't matter what we do. Now, the only problem with this is God has taught us in His Word, yes, His sovereign decrees are immutable, and they were made in eternity, but they were made to function in the context of time, space, and reality through what we call the ordinary means of prayer and evangelism. In other words, His eternal decrees have not only ordained the end, they have ordained the means to the end. Our job is not the end. Our job is the means. Our job is not to determine that I can elect people or not. No, only God elects in the context of the eternal covenant, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But His election is ordinarily expressed through the ordinary means of prayer, preaching, evangelism, worship, fellowship, and deeds of love, mercy, and justice. that God uses those things to accomplish his end. Now, can God supersede those means of grace? Absolutely. Tom, even as we do this program, it's Christmas, right? Who is the first convert of the incarnate Christ in the New Testament? The first convert is John the Baptist. Where? In the womb of his mother. In other words, before he was birthed, he is converted and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, normally, that would take place through preaching and prayer and teaching and fellowship, and then someone is brought to faith in Christ and filled with the Spirit of God. But here, God did it by his decree through an extraordinary process of the ordinary means of grace. What an astounding thing, which gives us the blessing to know that God can regenerate in the womb if he so chooses. But what we operate on is not the extraordinary case, but the ordinary case that he regenerates by the Spirit through the spoken word and through prayer and through fellowship. Well, I hope that's helpful in both the history of the theology in the Baptist world, where I have many, many good friends, as well as the biblical view of the Reformation faith, the Calvinistic faith, which comes back to the scripture that says you don't go beyond the scripture in fatalism, nor do you fall short of the scripture in Arminianism, but we believe that God's end are accomplished through his ordained means. Our job is the means. I love it in Acts when it says that the Apostle Paul evangelized and proclaimed the word to the Jews and to the Greeks, and many believed who had been appointed to eternal life. Why did they believe? They were appointed. How did they believe? Through the preaching and praying of the Apostle Paul. And how did they manifest their salvation? By faith, which comes from hearing the word. Our God-given job is preach the word, and their response of faith is by God's grace through the means of preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's go and bring Jesus to them as we bring them to Jesus.
Harry, our second question is from a gentleman named Jim. He says, we are admonished to study God's Word. Much of Scripture is easily understood. There are portions that are understood to be mysteries only known to God, and other portions that sometimes require the knowledge of Greek and Hebrew, in which most of us have no training. That causes us to migrate to such commentaries like Matthew Henry's. I understand the value of study and meditation, but why didn't God just simplify the more difficult portions of Scripture so that they could be more easily understood?
Well, because God's a good father, and because he's a father, he wants you to grow. And he knows you can't grow if he keeps everything at a milk level. So he's got milk, he's got meat. The meat you got to chew on. The milk you can just swallow. And now sometimes in the process, he'll take some milk, he'll take some meat, and he'll mash it up and give you mush. So you got milk, you got mush, you got meat. And God does that. Why? Because he wants you to grow. The same way your teacher told you when you said, teacher, what does that word mean? And she says, go look it up. Yes, some things are hard to understand. But you also know that the Bible is non-contradictory. That's why we have a doctrine called analogia de fide, which means the scripture interprets the scripture. That's the analogy of faith. We believe the Bible's the word of God. It's inerrant. It's non-contradictory. So if you got a difficult passage, go to the easier passage, because the difficult passage can't contradict the easier passage. So work from the easier to the more difficult. Secondly, the scriptures are challenging, and while every person has the ability to read and interpret, we do need help. That's why God has given preachers and teachers and commentators to help you understand. So why are the hard texts there? God wants you to grow. But he has also provided teachers and preachers and the confidence that the Bible can't contradict itself. So go after the hard text through the easier text, knowing that the harder text cannot contradict the easier text, and then give attention to who you listen to and how you listen to it.
If you have a question for Harry Reader, write to us at askthepastor@briarwood.org. Well, thanks for being with us this week. Have a wonderful weekend. Be sure and join God's people in the worship of our Heavenly Father on Sunday. Then stop by again on Monday for a conversation and a biblical worldview application as we put the issues of today and perspective.